Quarter to midday. David Boyle, good morning to you.
Catherine Ryan, how are you?
I'm well. David is a financial wellbeing commentator, formerly of Mint Asset Management and the Commission for Financial Capability, which is why he has such a passion for all things KiwiSaver. Good morning.
It is very, it feels a bit more like my life work these days, Catherine, but it's a wonderful, wonderful place to commentate and talk on and hopefully improve New Zealanders' long-term financial wellbeing.
So, what's this latest report and what stands out in it for you?
Yeah, look, it's just another way of cutting a cake in respect of the outcomes and what KiwiSaver probably hasn't been doing as well as we'd like to see. So, National Capital came out with their survey. They always kind of highlight the best and worst performing providers, but thankfully they added something that I think is of more significant value, and they've taken a number around $113 billion of lost savings for Kiwis that are in KiwiSaver, but they're missing out on that for their retirement income. And that's caused primarily, it's another way of saying that we've got over 1.1 million New Zealanders in KiwiSaver that are not contributing a cent today. And that needs to change. And they're the things that I really would love to see some action upon via government and within the industry as well.
Is this a cost of living crisis issue? Are these people who are signed up, who have been saving and have stopped contributing, or what?
Yeah, look, it's the numbers made up in a lot of different areas. So absolutely, I think the cost of living crisis that we're facing in New Zealand is a driver, and I would expect that there have been more New Zealanders in KiwiSaver taking a contribution holiday, which means that they are giving up their own contribution, but in a lot of cases their employer contribution as well, and they may be impacting their member tax credit. So there's that. There are a number of school children that are under 18 that probably aren't contributing, or their parents aren't putting money in for them, and there will be a number that are retired. But I've calculated that there's around 800,000 New Zealanders that are eligible that should or could be or are employed and that aren't making that investment or making that contribution. And I think part of the problem is the way that people are being employed by their employers.
Explain more.
Well, you know, the intent of the legislation, and there's a private members bill looking at this at the moment. The intent of the legislation is that the employer, the spirit of the legislation is the employer should be matching the employee's contribution of 3% on top of their salary. Now, there was a lot of lobbying done in the very early days of KiwiSaver just before it got legislated in 2007. And basically, employers can choose to work with their employees and either include it in their total employment contract. But a lot of New Zealanders don't understand that. Or it's how they're being employed. And by that I mean, are they contractors? Are they those that aren't on salary and wages? And they may be self-employed as well, that aren't making contributions. And in some cases, perhaps, employers are not meeting their obligations. But I don't know. So I think there's a really good opportunity for a bit of a deep dive, not more research because we've got plenty of that, but actually a deep dive on what are the things that we could do to improve the contribution rates. And we get that in place, more New Zealanders are in a better financial position when they retire. That means a really good outcome for them, but also government of the future.
There's a nuance, one suspects, with employers where you can have this income or you can have this income. And up to you whether you include KiwiSaver or not, which is, I guess, upfront, but also slightly against the spirit of the whole thing, right? It's supposed to be an add-on.
Look, if they're not getting contracts signed by their employees on the basis that they are willing to accept that they're receiving a total employment cost, the employer obligation is a legal requirement. They can't opt out of this. And you can't opt out as a KiwiSaver member if you're a salary or wage unless you go on a contribution holiday. So there are some checks and measures in place, but it needs further investigation. I genuinely believe the time is now to run a forum with interested parties, both government, the providers, the Retirement Commission. You might know Jane Wrightson, of course. She's a very strong advocate of the work that's done in KiwiSaver and would be a wonderful place to be an independent body, if you like, to regulate and run in a forum like this and maybe get some really good recommendations rather than tinkering around the sides that we always see politically happen when a new party comes into play.
Can I raise another matter? And that is with the house price soaring that has happened. Many people come up against this argument of, should I pay down my mortgage, get rid of that debt, reduce that debt before savings? And there is a minimum percentage you have to make. Just remind us of the rules, actually. There is a minimum percentage you have to make each year, is there not, unless you just sign up and then suspend. Just remind us of the basics, David.
Yes, basically, as you are employed, whether you're a first-time employee, you'll be auto-enrolled unless you opt out. So that means you'll be allocated to one of the default providers. And you're required to make a contribution of 3%. And then on top of that, your employer in most cases should be putting in 3% for you as well, and then you'll be eligible. If you put in over $1,043 a year, you'll get up to $521 tax-free. I look at it as a 50% return on your investment every year from the government. So they're the elements, and you're right. Look, the question around buying or selling, paying your mortgage off or saving first, comes down to individual circumstances. I think doing both collectively, because I know most people probably won't be in their home for the rest of their life, so circumstances might change. To have a bit of both going at the same time, if you're able to do it, I know it's a lot more challenging.
That's the challenge. Just that 3% of salary, and I know it's 6% in theory, but again, I come back to many employers saying, here's your pay with KiwiSaver in it, or you can not be in KiwiSaver and here's your pay without it, right?
Yes.
The opt-out option. That 3% can feel like quite a bite up with everything else. Make the case. Give us an example again of if you are particularly, you know, in your 20s or 30s, just how much even a modest contribution, how much difference it will make over a period of decades, David?
Yeah, look, I would say that if you're just starting out in your career, you've got KiwiSaver up and running, the power of time and compound is going to be an incredible contribution to your overall outcome. It's you know, kind of like, keep going back, to the eighth wonder of the world. It really helps New Zealanders and investors get a great return over a long period of time. The thing is that KiwiSaver can help New Zealanders get into their first home as well, of course, because they can get their own contributions and their employer contributions, and in some circumstances, the member tax credit as well, where they're able to contribute that to their deposit. So you've got three parties almost helping you build that deposit. Once you've got your mortgage, look, you may need to take a breather because you might need to make that commitment financially to get that mortgage. But interest rates where they are today may not be there tomorrow, and we know that interest rates are most likely looking to come down at the latter end of this year. So, you know, it swings and roundabouts. It's about managing both. But if you're not going to be living in your house for the rest of your life, then you do need, I believe, to do a bit of both if you can. A
couple of quick points to finish before we go on to our next topic, which is an interesting one as to how you can reverse that process later in life when it comes
yes.
to the home. But did National Capital look at best results by various measures from funds?
Yeah, look, I'm always concerned that people chase returns around being the best choice of fund or fund manager. The things that you can look at are fees, obviously. That's a variable that you can compare. But the big part that New Zealanders forget about, I believe, is what type of fund they're actually in. By that I mean, what's the asset allocation? Are you've got more money in shares, or have you got more money in cash and fixed interest? Those elements will actually provide a far better return in the long term if you get that right. And then go and look at your providers and see who's doing well consistently, not over a year, not over 3 years, but
exactly.
over 5 and 10
yeah.
years.
So that mix, which comes down to your risk profile, which comes down to your age profile again, primarily. And to that point, there has been improvement, has there not, in getting away from set and forget. You know, you get into a potentially inappropriate default scheme and stay there. That did get improved, did it not? There needed to be more proactivity by providers?
Well, certainly there needs to be more work done by providers to connect with their investors. I mean, you've got 3.5 million odd KiwiSaver members. I mean, to grab a space in the noise of life that we have to penetrate that and actually understand, you know, what's important for them is you know, you need to do that ongoing. It's not like a one-off thing. You need to continue supporting communication, holding their hand as they go through changes in the market and performance.
Now, we've got about 4 minutes to crack into this. You argue there needs to be more choice to access equity in our homes. I presume this is later on in life, and if it's wonderful enough and you're mortgage-free but heading to retirement, what is it you want to elaborate on?
Yeah, look, the things I was thinking about, you know, we spend a lot of time about accumulation, talking about KiwiSaver, talking about, you know, building, I guess, a savings and investment. So when you retire, you've got that nest egg. So basically, for a lot of New Zealanders, though, their own home, we're kind of asset rich and income poor, as we've seen property prices continue to go up. When people get near or are in retirement or they are not working anymore, in a lot of cases they will have some savings, so they'll have their KiwiSaver. But you know, the other great thing is that we're living longer, but we need our income to be living longer as well. So there are opportunities, and people talk about decumulation. How do we actually provide that? Well, there are a number of ways you can do it. You can downsize. You can move into a smaller unit, perhaps, or a smaller house and take some capital there. You can go into a retirement village, and that won't cost you as much. But of course, you know, sometimes the people that are most upset about that are not those that are going to a retirement village. It's the family members that might be missing out on that capital because there's a reduction there. You could move to another town, but more there is certainly a more focus on how do you release equity in your own home so you can enjoy that while you are living in good health.
And what are those options? Because banks do charge a fair whack for a so-called reverse mortgage. Are there other options to that?
Yeah, there are very few options, actually. There's Heartland and I think SBS offer what I call an equity release, where you might take out $50,000, and it could be for a holiday, it could be for fixing the house, it could be a hip operation, who knows? But you've got ability to get money out. Of course, you're going to take a mortgage then, and that's going to continue to grow with the interest rate accumulating because you're not paying any principal back. And Ralph Stewart of Lifetime has been an advocate of trying to find other ways to help New Zealanders with income. And he's just released, will be releasing, I think it's on the 15th of April, another way that you can get a regular income.
Look, is this the annuity? Is this the annuity option? I thought that got started and faltered, did it not? Can you help me?
Yeah, no, you're certainly of the same ilk, but that was around investment annuity. This is about unlocking capital in your home to get a regular income, and they'll provide that on a fortnightly basis, just like you get your super and top it up, and we'll be able to, take some capital interest within the property, but allow you to unlock it. It's a bit like having a gingerbread house and having a little bit to eat.
A nibble at it. I'd be interested to talk to him then, and we will seek to talk to him then, because first, what is the cost of doing it? That's one thing. Second, look, rates and insurance alone in a metro city these days could be anywhere between $8,000 and $10,000 in total, you know, coming out of a pension, possibly. So interesting if it's a small regular amount, but you'd want to have half an eye on what the markup is. So I look forward to perhaps to learning more about that when that scheme is launched. David, thank you very, very much. David Boyle, who is a financial wellbeing commentator, formerly of Mint Asset Management and also formerly of the Commission for Financial Capability.